that you're having a good Sunday today. I'm so glad that you chose to worship with us today. We are in the third week of a series, Be Bold, or the middle of this series. We have two more weeks left to go, and if you happen to have missed any of the messages in this series, you can always go online on our website at StoneRidgeCC.com, and you can watch those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. Glad to have you with us. Well, as I mentioned, we're in the third week of this series, Be Bold, and in this series, we're in the book of 2 Timothy. What do we know about Timothy, or what have we said about Timothy so far? Well, the one thing we have emphasized is that Timothy was timid. Timothy actually was timid. Therefore, the Apostle Paul encouraged him to be strong. Last week, we looked at the verse, we looked at half of chapter 2. Specifically, Paul started off the chapter in verse 1 saying, Timothy, my dear son, he was like a son to him. He said, my dear son, be strong, right? I know you're timid. I know you're afraid sometimes to talk or maybe to tell other people about the Lord and everything that has happened. So be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. What does God give us in his son? Christ Jesus, he gives us grace. I don't know about you, but grace is something that I need because I'm always messing up and doing things I know I shouldn't do or don't want to do necessarily, and I end up doing them, and praise God for his grace. And so no doubt Timothy needed some grace, and so Paul told him to be strong and rest in the grace that you have in Christ Jesus. Why else did Paul tell Timothy or encourage Timothy to be strong? Why did he encourage him to be strong? Because God had a mission for him. Not only did God have a mission for Timothy, but he has a mission for you and me. And what is it? What was that mission that he had for Timothy? To teach what he had learned about Jesus to others. What we're learning about Jesus is what we should be sharing with others. What God is teaching us here on Sunday morning and in your quiet time with the Lord. We should be telling people what God is doing in our lives, how he's changing us, transforming us into his image and likeness. What things had Paul learned, and what things had Paul passed on to Timothy, and now Timothy was passing on? Well, we looked at this briefly last week. First, he said we have to die to ourselves. This is one of the things the Apostle Paul learned. The secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, he said, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And so Paul learned to die to himself. I tell you what, I struggle with that every day because I'm very self-centered, and that's something I have to ask the Lord to help me with, right? Help me to put you first. Help me to put others first and think about them and not about myself. Why? Because when we do this, we will live with him. We'll live with him when we die to ourselves. What's the second thing? Paul said we have to endure hardship. We have to endure hardship. Right now, maybe some of you have some hardships in your life right now, some things going on in your life or on your plate where it's just hard dealing with that and going through all of that right now. Well, why do we have to endure hardship? Because if we do, we will one day reign with him. We will reign with him. What else did Paul say we have to do? He said we have to acknowledge him. Why? Because if we deny him, if we deny Jesus, he will deny us. And fourth, we have to be faithful. Why? Because when we're faithful, when we're committed, when we're following Jesus, we're actually showing people just who he is. So let's jump right into chapter 2 here, back into the middle of it, verses 11 through 14. Paul told Timothy this is a trustworthy saying. If we, what, die with him, we will also live with him. If we die to ourselves, we're going to live with him. If we endure hardship, right, keep our eyes focused on Jesus, no matter what it is we're struggling with, no matter what it is we're going through, we will reign with him. If we deny him, we say we don't know him, we don't talk about him, we don't share our faith, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, the good news is he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Remind everyone about these things. Paul says, tell everyone, Timothy, about what I just told you, about dying to yourself, enduring hardship, acknowledging him, being faithful. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words, to stop fighting over things. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. Why do we need to be reminded about these things? Why do we need to be reminded about these things? Because if we forget about these things, we'll get into fights and arguments. What happens when we get into fights and arguments with people? Well, it can ruin those who hear them. We saw this lady here in this opening video talking about her church and how the fighting and arguing had kind of ruined everyone who had heard those fights and those arguments. And so it just kind of spread, she said, like cancer through the church. Here's a question for you. Can you think of anyone that you've been fighting and arguing with lately in your life? Can you think of anyone that you've been fighting and arguing with lately in your life? Maybe it's a mom or dad. Maybe it's a brother or a sister. Maybe it's a neighbor or a friend, a coworker or a boss, or maybe even your spouse. Whoever it is, it needs to stop. Whoever it is, it needs to stop. Why? Because it's not only affecting you, but everyone around you, whether you realize it or not. It's like a grenade that goes off. The shrapnel just kind of goes everywhere and affects everyone. What happens when Monica and I get into a fight or an argument? Usually I win. No. What happens when Monica and I get into a fight or argument? We not only end up hurting each other, but our daughter, Eden, who's 4 years old. Right? That's what usually happens. We end up affecting her in some way. We try not to fight or argue in front of her, but let's be honest, sometimes it just happens, right? Sometimes it just happens. And how does our Eden, our four-year-old daughter, react when this happens? Well, she jumps right into the middle of it, and she tries to play peacemaker. And she knows one of us or both of us is not acting nice. And so she tells us, Daddy is not acting nice, which is usually most of the time. Or Mama is not acting nice. It's quite something to be humbled by a four-year-old when that happens. And what follows is a whole bunch of I'm sorry's. I'm sorry, right? And just those two words, I'm sorry, can just really diffuse the situation. Monica usually utters those words before I do because I'm prideful and stubborn. Right? But those words just change everything. Who is it you need to say sorry to today? Who is it that you need to say sorry to today because you haven't been acting nice? Perhaps you don't want to say, I'm sorry. Perhaps you're like, Ed, I don't want to say I'm sorry. You're like me, prideful and stubborn. I get it, because a lot of times I don't want to say I'm sorry either. Nevertheless, it's a start. Don't close a door that God wants to remain open. Let me say that again. Don't close a door that God wants to remain open. Why does he want this door to remain open? Why does he want it to remain open? Because he wants you and me to live in peace with everyone. Well, what does this require? Hard work. It's hard work. Why? Because it's not easy to humble ourselves in this way. What are we doing when we humble ourselves in this way? When we say, you know what? I'm sorry. Well, we are presenting ourselves to God to receive his approval. What happens when we receive his approval? We will no longer feel ashamed because of our behavior. In other words, we will be able to correctly explain the truth because we're living in it. We're not engaging in the worthless and foolish talk, i.e. the slander and the gossip. What do we know about worthless, foolish talk? Well, it spreads like cancer, right? When we start to engage in that, when we start to think that, those negative thoughts about that person or that situation to where it just eats us up inside and begins to control our minds, that's where the battle starts in the mind. Paul says we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You have to grab those thoughts and say, you know what? I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to think about that person that way or this situation. I'm going to think on what is true and noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. I'm going to think about the things God wants me to think about. I'm not going to allow myself to dwell on this and go down that road. I just won't do it. That's not what God wants from me. What is the result of worthless, foolish talk spreading like cancer? It turns people away from the truth, which is the opposite of what we want as Christians. We want people to know the truth. Paul says this in verses 15 through 18. Work hard, right? It's hard work. Being a Christian, right? It's not easy. Work hard so you can present yourself to God. Right? We care about what he thinks first and foremost. God, what is it you want me to do? You bought me with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I belong to you. And so what is it you want me to do in this situation that there's some friction right now? How do you want me to act? I belong to you. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid what? Worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior? This kind of talk spreads like cancer. As in the case of Hymenides and Philetus, they have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the truth. Because of their talk, because of the way these guys have been acting, people have just fled and gone away from the truth. What's my prayer? That we would correctly explain the truth. That you and me would correctly explain the truth. You know why? Because people today are being fed lies in our society. And they need to know the truth. In order to correctly explain the truth, we have to know the truth. Well, who is the truth? You know the answer. Who's the truth? Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Do you know Jesus? What do I mean by knowing him? What do I mean by knowing him? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you talk to him and spend time alone with him in his word? You know, a lot of people know about Jesus. A lot of people out there today, they know about Jesus, but they don't know him personally. They know he lived 2,000 years ago. They know he died on a cross. However, However, this knowledge hasn't changed what? Their hearts. Why? Because it's never gone from the head to the heart. You know, a lot of people say they're a Christian. A lot of people go to church every Sunday. But they're not a Christian. They don't know Jesus. Continuing on, verse 19. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are His. The Lord knows those who are His, those who belong to Him. He knows them. And all who belong to the Lord must what? Turn away from evil. All who belong to Jesus must turn away from evil. What's my fear? What's my fear? Those of us who are Christians aren't turning away from evil. That's my fear. Those of us who are Christians, who know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, that we're not turning away from evil. I think we initially did when we gave our life to Christ and we asked Him to be our Lord and Savior and thanked Him for dying on the cross for our sins. I think we did. However, I believe we've fallen back into our old habits. Paul warns us about this in Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm afraid we're starting to conform to the pattern of this world. We're starting to do what everybody else does out there today. And our minds aren't being transformed into His image and likeness because we're not in His Word, renewing our hearts and our minds every day. And before we know it, we're watching the same TV shows, going to the same movies unbelievers go to. Sometimes we're even using the same language. I'm amazed sometimes I'll be around someone and they'll tell me they're a Christian and every profanity in the world's coming out of their mouth. I'm like, really? If you consider yourself to be religious and yet don't keep a tight rein on your tongue, you're deceiving yourself and your religion is worthless. That's what James says. You're just deceiving yourselves. We talk bad about the people we don't like at work, right? Can't believe what so-and-so did today. I think we've become like the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation. Do you remember what Jesus said to those people? Let's look here just for a brief moment. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said this, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me." Oh, I wish I could be the kind of pastor that this lady talked about in this opening video about her dad loving everyone in the church and outside of the church, no matter what it is he was going through. I'm not there. Far from it. "You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, if you don't change your ways, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches." How do we make sure we don't become like this church here in Ephesus, that we don't become like that? Cold, indifferent, and hard, lacking love. What's our vision here? Our vision here is to create a place where everyone is known and loved. How do we make sure we don't become like this church? Well, by keeping ourselves pure. How do we keep ourselves pure? By keeping our eyes on Jesus and the hope of one day becoming like Him. Whenever we take our eyes off of the Lord, whenever we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're going to go down the wrong road. We're going to start to sink. We're going to fall. That's why John says this in 1 John 3, 2 and 3. "Dear friends, we are already God's children. We're His children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is." be like him. I want to see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Do you have this expectation of one day being like him and seeing him for who he really is? I do. Why is it so important that we keep ourselves pure? Pure in mind, pure in heart. Why is that so important? Because then we will be ready for the Master to use us for every good work. See, he has good things planned for you and me to do. Mainly to be bold, to share our faith. Continuing on in verses 20 and 21. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. What do we know about good works? What do we know about good works? We know that our good works don't save us. Why? Because God saved us by his grace when we believed. We can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Let me say that again. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. You know this verse here in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, or 8 through 10. Paul said, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, his precious possession, his Picasso, so to speak. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I don't know about you, but I want to do those good things. If you're like me, you want to do the good things God planned for you to do long ago. God has good things that he has planned for you to do. What is it then we need to do? Well, Paul tells Timothy, here's what you need to do. If you want to do those good things, you want to be ready for the Master to use you to make a difference in your family, in your workplace, and in this community. The first thing you need to do, Timothy, you need to run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Right? You need to run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Get away from it. The less we're on social media, the less we're on the internet, the less TV we watch, the better. Right? What else do you need to do, Timothy? What else do we need to do? Pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Pursue those things. That's what you should go after today. What is it you're pursuing today? What is it that has you all wrapped up that you just keep going after that thing? We need to focus less on pursuing things and more on becoming like Jesus. Let me say that again. We need to focus less on pursuing, more on becoming. Less on pursuing everything that's out there today, and more on becoming like Jesus. Third thing, Timothy, enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with what? Pure hearts. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. How do we become the man or woman that God has called us to be? How do we become that man or woman God has called us to be? Paul tells Timothy, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Run from the trash and the garbage of this world today. Get away from it. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Focus on Jesus. Enjoy the companionship on those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Do the people you hang out with love the Lord? Do the people in your life that you surround yourself with, that you see every day, that you hang out with, do they love Jesus? Do they love the Lord? Or are they always involved in foolish, ignorant arguments? Don't hang out or hang around people who are always involved in foolish, ignorant arguments. You always want to do these things. Why? Because they only start fights. What do we know about a servant of the Lord? A servant of the Lord, Paul told Timothy, must not quarrel. A servant of the Lord must not fight and argue, but must be kind, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Oh, I really struggle with that last one. I must admit that I struggle when it comes to being patient with difficult people. Talk to my wife. She might say, I struggle being patient with you because you're difficult. That's probably true. For the most part, I stay away from difficult people. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Why? Because Paul told Titus to have nothing to do with people who cause divisions. In fact, he says this in Titus 3, verses 10 and 11. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. Hey, I'm not going to be a part of that. After that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. Well, there's a fine line between someone who is difficult and someone who is divisive. How do we deal with someone who is difficult? Gently. Gently. Why? Perhaps God will change their heart and they'll learn the truth. What is it that difficult and divisive people don't realize? They've been taken captive by the devil to do whatever he wants. And what's our prayer? Our prayer is that they would come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. Listen to what Paul told Timothy. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, must not fight and argue, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Lord, help me to be gentle with these people. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been taken captive by him to do whatever he wants. Well, what is it I want you to know? We're in a spiritual battle today. Right? We're in a battle. Maybe that battle is in the workplace, out in the community, in this world, sometimes even in the home. Right? Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy your marriage, your life, your family, everything about it. That's his mission. Steal, kill, and destroy. You know what Jesus wants? He has come that you may have an abundant life, a full life, a rich life, a deeper life. What is it I want you to know? We're in a spiritual battle, and it's real. How do we win this spiritual battle? How do we win this battle? Well, we win it through the power of prayer. Do you remember what happened when Daniel prayed? Last verses here as we close out. What happened when Daniel prayed? I love these verses. Daniel 10, 10 through 12. Just then a hand touched me, Daniel said, and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. I want you to know you are very precious to God. You, each and every one of you here today, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. This is what God is saying to you. Listen to me. You're precious to me. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Insert your name there. Don't be afraid. Mary, Mark. your name in there. Don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding, I don't understand why this is happening to me in my life right now, in my family, at my workplace. I don't understand. Well, the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself and say, God, God has a reason and a purpose for it. What does someone who is bold do? What does someone who is bold do? Well, they pray for understanding, and they humble themselves before God and others. Maybe right now you're like, you know what, Ed? I need some understanding because I'm just struggling right now. To the Lord. In the moment you begin praying, He hears your prayer and He's working on your behalf. All things do work together for good for those who love the Lord. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it's good and it's pleasing and it is perfect. Will you humble yourself before God and say, God, here I am. Here's the situation. He already knows what the situation is. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Maybe right now you're like, Ed, I just got some walls built up. There's some anger within me. In humbling myself before God, well, I think I can do that, but not to that person or that situation because it's just too raw right now. Well, I understand. But I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God would give you strength to do what you cannot do on your own. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. And maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, Ed, there's a situation right now at work or out in the community or with my family, with a brother or sister or mom or dad, a neighbor or friend, a co-worker or a boss or a spouse, and I just don't understand. Would you pray for me? Pray for me in this situation. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you would help them. I pray that you give them understanding and direction. I pray that they would keep their eyes focused and fixed on you in the hope of one day becoming like you. Help them, Lord Jesus, and help me to love when we maybe do not feel like loving. Give us the power and the strength to do what we cannot do on our own. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm actually not a Christian. I've never given my heart and my life to the Lord, but I want to. Would you pray for me? Well, if you have that desire, I not only want to pray for you, but I want to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer,